Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of justice, and your feet shod in preparation of the gospel of peace, in all things taking the shield of faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. During the time of the dissolution of the monasteries in the United Kingdom, no matter where you went in the British Isles, you were not able to hide from the effect. No matter how remote and far away, even if you found a small little rocky outcrop island, you couldn't escape the persecution of the faith. And as such, it became very difficult for the faithful to maintain and to practice. Of course, this was the design of it all anyways. Well, with that coming of the dissolution of monasteries and the persecution of the faith, one of the more profound aspects to it was that the priests were either exiled or executed for trying to bring the sacraments to the people. And what remained in the United Kingdom at that time was an underground church network. You had a few priests who would travel far and wide, and they would only find still remaining, alas, just a few faithful whom they would come and in secret bring the sacraments and aid in the participation of the faith. One such clergyman was a bishop at that time who regularly traveled throughout Scotland, and he secretly would travel and lay clothes and during times when people weren't looking for him, and he would come and say mass at places in barns and in houses and under the cover of darkness and in secret everywhere he went. One such day he found himself far into the highlands in the wilderness there, where there's very few people around, and as luck would have it, or as is too often the case in Scotland, it became, when the sun set and it was dark, it became very rainy and very cold one evening. As he walked through the cold, he saw ahead in the distance a little glowing light, and he made his way towards it to find that indeed it was a lantern that hung in the window of a small farmhouse. Seeing this potential sanctuary from the storm, he walked up the steps of the farmhouse and he knocked on the door. And an old lady answered. And he just simply asked her that, he said, the weather is terrible out here and I'm traveling. Would it be possible to spend the night here where I can be dry? The woman let him come into the house and brought him before the fire where he was able to dry himself off a little and warm himself back up again. And she said, you may warm yourself here by the fire, but I can't offer you a bed tonight. You can stay, but I have no room for you. Because, alas, my husband, he is in the guest room on that spare bed. And he is in his last hours now, as we speak, dying. The priest, the bishop, who she did not know was a bishop, was very kind to the woman and said, don't worry about a thing. Just a spot on the floor would be plenty for me, as long as I'm out of the rain. But your husband, is he prepared for such an important occasion as his own death? Does he need anything at all? Or is he, in his mind, ready to depart? The wife said, no, in fact, he's not at all ready. Alas, no matter who talks to him, myself or his friends or even the doctors, and we all tell him that he soon will die, he refuses to believe this reality. And no matter how infirm and sick he becomes, he still doesn't question the fact that he is not about to die. And so the woman looked at him and said, you know, perhaps if you wouldn't mind, would you go in and have a little word with my husband for just a little friendly meeting with him, and then maybe you can gently tell him that he is going to die because you'd be an outside perspective, and maybe he would accept that. The bishop smiled and said, "Sure, I'd be happy to go and do that." And so he went into the room and he sat down by the man, and sure enough, they struck up a nice, friendly little conversation. And in that conversation, the bishop didn't pull any punches. He remarked to him and told him that he really did not seem well, and that it appeared that very soon he would probably die. The old man responded, "I know my years are many, and my strength is almost gone, but I know my time has not come." The bishop looked at him inquisitively and says, "What makes you think that you can escape what comes to all men?" And the old man looked back at him and said, "Well, I think I'll tell you. After all, what can man in this world do to threaten me any longer? You see, I am a Catholic, and I have never abandoned my faith in all these years of persecution against it. But I've only seen a priest twice in 30 years since that persecution began. But every day I prayed that God would not let me die without having the opportunity to see a priest again at my bedside in order that I may receive the last sacraments before my death. And what I know about God is that he is always good and faithful. So why should I doubt that he would hear my prayers? So you see, no matter how sick I may be, or how old I may become, I know I am not yet to die, because I do not have a priest by my bedside." With that, the bishop smiled and looked at him and said, "Well, good sir, I am a priest, and I am happy to now give you the last sacraments." The man's face lit up with a great joy, and he most devotedly received them, and then he went back to lay on his bed and rested at peace in his heart, knowing that now he could die, and soon afterwards, that is exactly what he did. Today is Mission Sunday, and here at St. Hugh of Lincoln, we are very fortunate. We have regular access to the sacraments. We have Mass every weekend, and confessions readily available. And yet, we are not detached from the reality that the missions are ever more important today as well. It is from St. Hugh oftentimes that we launch out to go and service missions in far-off places in our country. It is other times that you see us coming back into town after having been on the road and a bit road-weary at the end of a long trip. There are times where we talk about what happens in the missions. And for those who have been here for a long time, you even remember when St. Hugh itself was a mission, and the regularity of Mass was not very regular at all, but quite sporadic in its time frames. And so, with that, St. Hugh has always been a connection to the missions. But more so, Mission Sunday is not just to remind you that that important work continues, but rather that you are an integral part of that work, and to encourage you onward in doing so. Because truly, each and every one of us is part of the missionary work, and each and every one of us can do good for souls and do good in aiding the faith to spread. It is not without reason that Saint Therese of Lisieux is one of the patronesses of missionaries while being in the convents all the while. Because it is a reminder for you that your prayers are an important part of all the missionary efforts. And your prayers and your sacrifices, having in them that remembrance of the good of souls and conversions and the spread of the faith and the more access to the sacraments, these things are all important. That every priest that you see that goes out and does missionary work, he is truly built up and supported by an army of faithful who support him with their prayers and sacrifices. His success is gained only through grace, which those prayers gain an access to. Because the priest is merely a tool. The wielder of the tool is God. He does the work of saving souls. And so your prayers are integral to our collective success. But in addition with that, you also share in the missionary work in your day-to-day lives too. Because you never know who you encounter. But there's so much that you can do that we could consider Catholic action and that apostolic work just by living your lives well. First and foremost is the very example of a Catholic life lived, by following after Catholic morality, by speaking in a manner that is becoming of a Christian, by acting in a way that holds up what you believe, by not having a dichotomy of your church self and your work self or your school self out there, but rather being consistent always with your beliefs and your actions. This, not done in a way which is haughty or to be on display, but rather is something that by just existing naturally cannot be ignored by the world around you. It is a light shining brightly in the darkness. And so maintaining a good Catholic life everywhere you go, and that good example, is part of missionary work. Moreover, added to that, the works of virtue, most especially charity. Charity, we understand charity in a different definition than the world gives it. Charity by the world is some sort of donation of time or money for some sort of cause, in which the reward is recognition and a name listed somewhere and a pat on the back and a placard given and some sort of thanks returned. We know charity to be a virtue, true love of God above everything else and love of neighbor for God's sake. And as such, it seeks no reward. It looks for no recognition. It desires nothing but the good to be accomplished, because it is worth doing in and of its own right. Such selflessness and truly virtuous charity is a rarity to be found in the world today. Yet one who sees it cannot help but be attracted to it and inspired by it. Again, it comes more than simply your actions, but your own knowledge too. Now are not the days in which man can sit by idly and say, well, I believe the faith, but I don't have a great understanding of it, but I don't have to. No, today we are meant to study our faith and know it well. To know not only the catechism, but perhaps some aspects of apologetics, that is, defense of our faith. Because you don't know the opportunity of providence when it may provide you a chance to speak with somebody, explain something, answer a question, or even rebuke something they have held to be false. These things need not be something done as a way standing on a pulpit and preaching to the heathens do not want to listen. But rather, it is something in which oftentimes grace and the guiding hand of God arranges in your life, that He puts people in place around you, which you may do some good by having a base knowledge of the truths in which you believe, and an ability and a willingness to speak about them. Simple instruction, simple explanation. Grace converts souls, but we cooperate with it, so we don't have to worry how much we know. Just try to know what you can. And then God does the work from there. Those of us who actually do travel around and do mission work, we could readily tell you that it is more often than you think that such occasions do occur, that you have that happenstance or seemingly happenstance interaction with another person, and then lo and behold, it leads to somebody eventually coming to the faith, coming to Mass. It's amazing when you see it in a place like here where we have a church, but it's easily lost in its importance. What it is seen more clearly, just truly how miraculous it is when you see it happen in a place where there are very few people at all, let alone people of the true faith, and still conversions happen. But each one is just as important and just as miraculous and just as clearly helped by the hand of God. So we understand and learn more about our faith. And lastly, is the importance of more priestly vocations. Something to be most especially part of your regular prayers. That you pray for an increase of young men who are willing to take up the cross and to work the harvest of souls in the field, to start moving around again and doing more of the missions with the rest of the priests that are already there for them. Because in our day, we find that there are more and more who are finding the faith, but they are truly scattered all about. And yet, these souls, just as the man in that story, they want sacraments. They want confidence that comes from sanctifying grace. They want that faith for themselves. And in order to bring it to them with more regularity, we need more laborers to do so. And so pray that those who are called may answer that calling. And pray that those who feel the inclination towards the priesthood follow after that. And pray that we have young men who persevere against the hardships to find themselves one day ordained, and who want to put in that hard work of going from place to place in a church which today is still largely underground, but from which much good for souls still needs to be done. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.